Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health. I love food, and so does today's guest, New York Times best-selling author and professional chef, Devin Alexander. Devin has been called a kitchen magician and America's coolest food chef. Having maintained a 55-pound weight loss for over 16 years, she lives and eats her message. You don't have to deprive yourself to be fit and healthy. Devin is a host of Healthy Decadence with Devin Alexander on Fit TV and has shared her secrets for unbelievably decadent yet healthy foods through frequent appearances on The Today Show, Good Morning America, The View, The Biggest Loser, Discovery Health's National Body Challenge, Fox, HGTV, USA, Style Network, and others, and through over 200 magazines, including features in national magazines including Prevention, Women's Health, Men's Health, Shape, and Healthy Cooking, to name a few. Today we'll be talking about Devin about all of her incredible cookbooks: Fast Food Fix, The Biggest Loser Cookbook, The Biggest Loser Family Cookbook, and The Most Decadent Diet Ever, which chronicles her personal weight loss journey and includes over 125 of her favorite dishes, including chocolate not only in your dreams cake. Now that sounds delicious. Devin, welcome to It's Your Health.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad. I loved all of your books, and I've made a lot of your recipes, which we'll get to. But if you could tell us about your experiences growing up and how they led you to becoming a kitchen magician.
Well, I grew up, I was 55 pounds, well, actually more than 55 pounds overweight by the time I was 15. I hit my top weight around 200 at 15 years old. And I love food. I've always loved food. And I was one of those people who would yo-yo diet. And I would, you know, decide to go on a diet. I would try to do it. And let's face it, if you follow a diet and you can stick to it, you'll lose weight. That's just how it is. But I wasn't one of those people that could do that. And I would, you know, get, whether it be weeks or days into a diet, and then think, oh my God, I can never have brownies again, ever. Ugh. And it was too much for my little brain to handle. So I would, you know, fall off and eat everything that I might ever miss, and then I'd try to start another diet. And it was this vicious cycle, and I was just picked on brutally in high school. And, you know, for being overweight at a time where a lot of people weren't overweight, or a lot of other people, I should say. And then I figured out that if I just cut, I heard what changed my life was that if you cut just 100 calories per day from your diet, on average, you'll lose 10 pounds in a year. And to me, that was this big eye-opening thing. Like, wait a second, if I give up 100 calories here and there, I can still eat my brownies? And so my whole diet started, you know, morphing around, what do I really care about? What do I really want to eat? Where can I cut calories without really sacrificing? And I started by doing simple dishes like chicken parmesan, where I loved that. And instead of deep frying it, I would grill a chicken breast and then use full fat sauce and full fat cheese, but I'd still save like two to 300 calories per dish just in not deep frying it. And it was still delicious with the cheese and the sauce and all of that. So that's what I started doing. And then I lost about 25 pounds the first year, and it was the first time that I was actually loving food and enjoying it again and not on this crazy roller coaster. So it was really exciting and eye-opening, and so my whole philosophy is based on that. And now when I make chicken parmesan, I do bread it and I bake it. Well, I mean, depending what, you know, if someone wants breaded chicken parmesan, like, to really be like the real thing, I can do that. Again, saving calories by not deep frying it. I soak chicken in buttermilk to make it nice and tender, and then I'll bread it in a variety of different things. In The Most Decadent Diet Ever, I have a potato chip crusted chicken, which tastes so much like it's fried. Using baked potato chips.
Oh, okay. So there's lots of great ways that you can cut calories that are really, you know, simple. And also, I know that from reading your books, you had two grandmothers that taught you how to cook as well?
Yes, I had two Italian grandmothers. So that's kind of how I got heavy to begin with.
Oh, okay.
Started gaining, which is great. I mean, you know, I at least had solid cooking techniques to turn things around. But yes, my two Italian grandmothers taught me how to cook. So when people started picking on me in school, instead of going to the dances, I would stay home and bake cookies, and then I just got fatter, and it was this vicious cycle.
Kids are so cruel. Oh my God. You know, it's funny because I was made fun of for being super skinny. Now I know that's probably like, oh, poor you, but I mean, it just seems like kids will really just find anyone who's different.
I'm not like poor you, because I know like anything like that. Yeah. Anything that they can find. And
Oh, they were so cruel. They call me olive oil because I used to wear my hair up in a little braid. And oh my gosh, I was so skinny. And I would do everything I could to try to gain weight, and nothing worked. You know, now that I've hit 40, let me tell you, I don't have to try. No one's calling me olive oil. I mean, I'm still thin, but not, you know. But anyway, so I just understand when you're being tormented like that. And then you turn to food because you feel so bad about what's happening. Now, I wanted to talk about your fast food fix book.
Okay.
And in the foreword, you write, "Dressed in their best on Sunday mornings, most Catholic teenagers of my generation went to church. I went to Wendy's." Now, I went to Temple, but let me tell you, I would have joined you.
Well, I was supposed to be at church. My parents thought we were at church.
Oh.
But my brother, sister, and I, like, the church parking lot was shared with the Wendy's parking lot. So we would go to church, and we would go inside, send my little sister inside, and she would have to get the program and listen to the sermon and then fill us in so that when our parents tested us, not that I'm a deceitful person, but I have to say, you know, you're a teenager. So, yeah, I mean, imagine during my years that I really was trying to lose weight, and I'm like, you know, like all Christians do, I was like praying, you know, oh, please just let me lose weight. And I'm like, why is God going to let me lose weight when?
You're off at Wendy's.
Yeah, exactly. When I was supposed to be at church, I'm like, this is not a good thing.
Now, when did that turn around? And instead of going out to fast food, you actually started figuring out, hey, wait, I can make it. Was that at the same time that you started changing some of the other recipes that you talked about?
It wasn't. I went cold turkey on, like, off of fast food in 1987. I still, to this day, have not eaten it except for when making fast food fix.
Okay.
Just because I had to try some of the stuff, and then my friends are like, are we going to have to do an intervention? But no, it was totally fine. And I did it because it was one of those things that, you know, it's easy to miss those flavors.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to the point where I reached my goal weight, and then I was like, wow, it would be so great if I could have those things again. I'm really craving French fries, and I'm really craving Big Mac sauce. And I just didn't want to go back. And so I started playing around to make things similar. And then I was doing a column in Muscle and Fitness magazine called Recipe Doctor that they were similar. And then Rodale asked me to change it into a book that they were exactly the same. So I didn't do the specific makeovers until about 8 years ago. But prior to that, I was always building things that were kind of like them, just not exactly.
Okay. Well, I saw Star Jones on The View, and she said that your secret sauce for the Big Mac is better than the original. Now, how long did it take you to get that sauce just right?
You know, it took a while. With all of the dishes, I would get, because I didn't want to eat 12 Big Macs,
I wouldn't either.
Well, you know, I got the sauces on the side. So with that, I just got a big cup of the secret sauce, and I kept tasting that side by side with what I was trying to concoct. And so it didn't take as long as you would think. And then, you know, you obviously don't have to taste the bread because you know what the bread tastes like 12 times.
Mm-hmm.
And then the beef patty, like I tried a little bit of that just to get the seasonings right. And then, you know, the lettuce. So it was really with that one, cracking the code was about getting the secret sauce right.
Okay. Well, I haven't eaten fast food since I was 15, and I'm going to be 42 on Sunday. And when I did
happy birthday.
Well, thank you. When I did eat fast food, Taco Bell was my favorite. Okay. Now, it's been a long time, but I was excited when I saw your book and I saw the recipe for the Taco Bell recipes, because all the others, the McDonald's and the Wendy's, I wasn't as into that as I was. I have always loved Mexican food, and I'm from California. So anyway, I made the soft Taco Supreme. It was so good. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so good. So I was really excited. Because I still won't eat fast food. I'm kind of crazy with my, you know, way I eat. But it was really nice to say, well, because I do eat meat, you know, and, you know, it was nice to get to taste it again.
Yes. Well, you know, it is. And there's a lot of religious groups who've contacted me, and they're like, oh my God, I can make your Big Mac with halal meat. And I'm like, okay, cool. That wasn't the purpose, but that's awesome. So, yeah, no, it's a really fun book. And honestly, like, the Big Mac and the Cinnabon is worth making.
I got to try that.
It's so, like, I swear to you, every person who made them was like, oh, my God, that is the best thing. They taste exactly like them. And then some of the fried dishes, they definitely satisfy the craving, mm-hmm. but they're not exact the way the Big Mac and the cinnamon bun are.
Yeah, no, speaking of the fried, you talked about the French fries, that one of the secrets is to boil the potatoes first. Is that correct? And then when you fry them or pan, we put them on the pan, the, you know, the pan with the oil, they'll soak up, or they'll get more crisp. I'm probably not saying.
Yeah, so okay. To make fries that are similar to McDonald's, that was one of the frustrating parts of the book, like in trying to recreate these recipes. McDonald's fries are so crispy, as are some other companies, and I could not figure out how to get that nice crispness in the oven without burning them. And then I realized that at restaurants, they often double fry the fries.
Oh.
They fry them once to release a lot of the moisture, and then they fry them again to crisp them up. So I learned that if I boil them, which I know sounds counterproductive, but if you boil them slightly, it releases a lot of the moisture from the potatoes. You just don't want to overboil them or they'll break.
Okay.
But you boil them for a few minutes, release the excess moisture, and then you toss them in a tiny bit of olive oil, put them in the oven on a high heat, and they crisp up really nicely.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I need to try that. I got so into the taco. This is great. But yeah, I definitely want to. Now, I want to move on to talk about your Biggest Loser cookbooks. Now, everyone who listens to It's Your Health knows I'm a huge fan of the NBC hit show, The Biggest Loser. I love it. Now, I've interviewed Sione and Felipe Fa from this past season and Tara Costa. And I just interviewed Drea Baptiste from the first season last week. And next month, I'm interviewing the winner, Helen Phillips, and her daughter, Shannon. So I'm really excited. And I had a blast with these interviews. And I was wondering how fun it was to actually get to work with the contestants and get to meet them. Because even just over the phone, I was like, wow, these are, you know, I've met some really great people. So how was that for you?
It was amazing. I mean, anytime people are transforming their lives, and for me, like, I get to go in every once in a while, and particularly, like, season three, I was actually on air, and I came in, and I was a surprise for them. And first of all, like, it was the first time in my life that anyone was like, you're tiny. I'm like, yes.
But yeah, like,
in addition to that, you know, so many times, like, I came in early in the season there, and people think that they can't eat rich, indulgent flavors if they're trying to lose weight. And so, you know, I've worked on Discovery Health a lot as well, and I feel like people bring me in, and it's like the people respond as if they've won the lottery, and I'm the lottery.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, they think they can't have tacos, and then I show them how to have tacos, or they think they can't have, you know, I'm working with a restaurant right now, a chain restaurant.
Oh, cool.
And making over dishes like turkey spaghetti and Chinese pepper steak and, you know, baked fried chicken and all sorts of stuff. The things, you know, people think that when they go on a diet, that's the last time they'll have.
Yeah, it's like plain grilled chicken and some broccoli, right?
Exactly. And it's so not that. So when I come in and show them specifically, like, look, use this seasoning. Make sure your pan is hot. Make sure, you know, this. And they just get so excited. And it makes me feel, of course, crazy good, because here I was, a fat girl sitting on the sofa whining that I was overweight forever. So
Now, on The Biggest Loser, the contestants cook their own food. So was your role to just sort of show them how or give them lessons?
Yes. Okay. I kind of coach them a little bit. And then also a big part of what I do is satisfy their cravings through the recipes.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll report to me what it is that they're craving. And that's a lot of what is in the cookbook.
Oh, okay.
In the first cookbook, I actually worked with some of the contestants. Like, they submitted their recipes and I helped them make them, like, help them take the techniques that I know that can make healthy food even better. Things like, you know, that one of them put together this fajita dish that could have been this big soggy mess because they were sautéing their vegetables at the same time they were putting the chicken in the pan, and thus never allowing the pan to get hot enough to sear the chicken and make it, like, restaurant quality.
Oh, I see.
So I would show them, you know, hey, if you put the chicken in first and make sure you season the chicken directly, and then you pull that out and you sauté your vegetables and there isn't all that moisture, and then you put that in the tortilla and then you drain the salsa and put that over top, you have this rich, delicious, you know, explosion of flavors.
Yeah.
As opposed to, as I said, like, if you cook it all together, it's this big soppy mess. And
yeah,
you have a soggy tortilla and it doesn't feel like something you're eating at a restaurant.
Yeah, you're all about the flavors, and that's what's so incredible. And speaking of flavors, I made the beef stew also. You got me back in the kitchen, by the way. I did a show recently where I was working with this wonderful nutritionist, Beth Allison, and her interviews you can find on my site. But she was great. And, you know, we were talking about, you know, cooking healthy on a budget. And I said, you know, I've gotten into the habit of going to the Whole Foods, which I love, by the way, but I buy their prepared foods because they're so good, but I'm spending a lot of money. And it's been so nice to get your cookbooks and be like, oh, here I am. Oh, I love cooking. I forgot, you know, and I'm back in the kitchen. And I've always love beef stew. I just, you know, and I, your mom's beef stew from the Biggest Loser cookbook is wonderful. And I also love eggplant. And so I made the eggplant with the spicy sauce too. And that was from the family cookbook, the Biggest Loser family cookbook.
I was going to say, I guess it's, I get confused which recipes in which book, but in the Most Decadent Diet Ever, we have a, eggplant parmesan that people write to us about a lot.
That's great. No, I'm glad you mentioned that because I want to get to talking about that. Now, in the preface of The Most Decadent Diet Ever, you write, "The Most Decadent Diet Ever is not actually a diet in the sense of follow it to the letter type deprivation diet. It's a diet in the sense of a way of eating." And that's what I love about all your books. And like you talked about in the, you know, in the beginning of the show, it just being on a diet, it just doesn't, if you want to do it for a while, but it just doesn't work. It has to be a lifestyle change. It has to be a way of eating.
Well, it does. And, you know, I really encourage people to make only changes that they think they can stick to long term, unless there's a very specific occasion like your wedding, then you can go on a diet. but seriously, like really, because I think the frustration overwhelms. And if you just make changes that you think you can stick to at any given time, that will lead to other changes.
Yeah.
Because I know at first, as I said, like, I was happy making my chicken parmesan. Like, I just changed that I wasn't deep frying the chicken, but I was still eating full fat sauce and I was still eating full fat cheese. And then once you start getting better and you get more active, and even like my friends and I talk about, you know, you gain 5 pounds and running is much more difficult. You know, anything is more difficult. So once you lose even 5 pounds, like, you feel better at the gym, and then you're like, ooh, you know, maybe I'll use light cheese. I'll try that out. Oh, my God, this is actually good, you know? And meanwhile, your taste buds change as well. When you start, I mean, I literally cannot eat, like, I don't enjoy whipped cream anymore.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy, like, full-fat ice cream the way I once did because I can taste the fat in it.
Mm-hmm.
Even turkey pepperoni, like, I don't know if you've ever tried that.
No, I haven't.
It is so good, and they have it in pretty much every store now.
Oh, I haven't seen that. I've only seen the turkey bacon. I've never seen the turkey pepperoni.
Oh, no. Look near the pepperoni because they literally, like, even store brand. I mean, it's been out there for years now, and they even have store brands of it.
Oh.
And you literally, like, once you're eating that for a while, it's so flavorful that when you take a bite of full-fat pepperoni, you taste the fat in it.
Yeah, it's pretty fatty. Now, I wanted to ask, for all of your books, are there certain essential tools that folks need in their kitchens to make the recipes easier, like certain types of pans or utensils?
There are, but not a lot is the good news. Like, you always want to get a good set of nonstick cookware just because you don't want to have to add unnecessary fats and oils. You always want, like, I have a fine cheese shredder because with the lower fat cheeses, they tend not to melt as well, but if you shred them finely, not only do you need less to get more in every bite, but they also do shred or do melt much better in pizzas and things like that. And then I, of course, a kitchen scale. I'm not the kind of person who thinks you should weigh every meal. In fact, I encourage people not to weigh every meal because I think it can make you crazy.
Yeah.
But I do encourage people to have things like my newsletter, actually, last month or this month. I have this article called Cereal Killing. Like, so many people think, my girlfriends come to me and they're like, I cannot figure out for the life of me why I'm not losing weight. And 9 times out of 10, it has to do with cereal. Because a lot of cereals, the serving sizes are literally 1/4 cup, which is half of a small handful.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, granolas and things like that.
Yeah.
And for like 150 calories and 7 grams of fat. And so if you figure, even if you're having a small bowl, which I think a cup is a small bowl, you're looking at 600 calories in cereal and like 28 grams of fat that you could have had toward chocolate.
Really?
So I just encourage people, like, I have my cereal bowl in the morning. It is approximately one cup. I mean, it's a little bigger than a cup. So every time I have cereal, I have it in that bowl. Or every time I have some baked chips, or every time I have whatever, I know that I don't need to get a measuring cup out. I can just use these bowls that I love.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Instead of using a 2.5, and same thing with ice cream, you know, like I don't fill it all the way with the ice cream, especially, well, actually, I eat my ice cream out of ramekins.
Oh, it's so funny that you mentioned that. I had Bethany Frankel on the show who wrote Naturally Thin, and she was talking about the ramekins. I'm thinking to myself, but they're so small.
Well, they are, but see, I'm a person who there's satisfaction in getting a second helping.
That's true. That's true.
I really do find satisfaction in that. So I have a tiny ramekin, and then I have a second ramekin, and then I've had a serving.
You know, I tend to go overboard on the nuts, and I remember her talking about, like, well, you know, just put them in the ramekin. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, if she saw the bowl that I was using for my almonds, I mean, come on.
Yeah, well, it's just, I mean, but the thing is, you know, I tell people, like, wherever you want your calories, you can have them. Like, for these women coming to me with their cereal, I mean, if they love cereal and that is an indulgence to them to sit down to a 600-calorie breakfast of cereal, I am all for it. But the thing is, most people don't realize that. Like, they're like, it was a little bowl. And I'm like, I know. But you have to, I mean, I personally don't stock any cereal in my kitchen regularly that has more than 200 calories per cup. Because I know that I need at least a cup of cereal for me to feel satisfied. And I don't want to eat. And I mean, so that way, if I eat a cup and a half, or I have a cup with 200 calories and then make an egg white omelet for 150 calories, and I could even make a great goat cheese and herb omelet, which I did on my show, for 153 calories. Egg whites, of course. But, you know, you have your protein and then you get your bowl of cereal. And I mean, I just love food. Like, I'm not one of those people who, even though I said I eat from ramekins, like, I don't eat two bites and feel satisfied.
No, I don't either. You know, it's funny because I think what's so important is knowing that, you know, if you love your cereal and you want to eat that many calories, that's okay, like you were saying, but then you'll have to cut back somewhere else if you're trying to lose weight. But I think that's the important thing. I don't even think people are aware of that. Another thing, I heard you in another interview, and you were talking about restaurants, and you were talking about the omelet bar. And I was cracking up when you were saying you told the woman just to use a little bit of oil, and it was still like, so everything's swimming in oil. You're like, no, just a little, just a little. That's a nonstick pan, you know, just a little.
Yeah.
And how it's, I always thought the omelet bar was so healthy, you know, if you stay away from the ham and the heavy stuff.
No, well, and that's, again, it's all about awareness, because then you can, I mean, literally with me, like, I save the room for the sweets because I love, I mean, I have the worst sweet tooth on the planet, and I always have. And I always tell people, like, I have no more willpower than I had 20 years ago when I was, you know, close to 200 pounds. It's just that I make choices based on, you know, what I want to be eating. But yeah, the omelet bars, like, when they do it behind the scenes, you don't realize, but I've seen so many people, like, before I even say egg white, they've got an entire scoop of 4 tablespoons of oil in the pan. And when I say, like, light oil, they still put at least a tablespoon. And, I mean, I literally have practically wrestled the thing out of people's hands. And they're like, it's going to break. I'm like, I don't care what it looks like. I just need to eat healthy.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And, I mean, literally, like, you know, and not confrontational at all. No, but I'm like, please,
give me that spatula.
No, I mean, seriously, like, I'm like, just please, 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 I don't care what it looks like. Because they restaurants do have an obligation to get the food out fast, to get it out looking perfect, or they think you're not going to come back. And, you know, in many cases, you're not. But if I watch someone, you know, mess up my egg white omelet, like, I couldn't care less.
Oh, yeah. Now there's a lot of hidden oils then. Also, you were talking about marinara sauce, and I know that's something that my husband and I do. Like, we're garlic fanatics, okay?
Oh,
like, my sweet tooth isn't about sweets. It's about garlic. So, you know, he'll saute up a bunch of garlic, and he's like, oh, but it's an olive oil. And we'll drain part of it out and save the garlic oil, but I know that we leave too much behind. And then we're adding the canned marinara sauce, which I'm sure has too much oil. And it's something I never even thought about until I listened to your interview on another station. I was like, oh, my goodness. You know?
Well, yeah. You know, it's, a lot of people say, yeah, it's just olive oil. But you have to think, obviously olive oil is good fat, and I don't mean to make it sound like you have to take all fat out of your diet.
No, you need
absolutely
good fat.
Don't. Yeah. You need some fat in your diet. And, I mean, I usually put more fat in my salad dressings and my things like that where that's where I feel like you need it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean by more, I don't mean a gallon. I just mean, like, that's where I eat my tablespoon of olive oil. But in the marinara sauce, yeah, like, I've gone to even, like, Whole Foods where it says all natural, organic, blah, 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 blah. And then you flip over the jar of marinara sauce, and there's 14 grams of fat in a half cup of sauce.
Oh,
now, I don't know about you, but I have never eaten only a half cup of sauce.
No, I haven't.
And so when I talked about in the beginning, like, the turning point for me was hearing that just 100 calories out of your diet per day on average will yield a 10-pound weight loss or weight gain if you go the other direction. And a tablespoon of olive oil is 120 calories. So that means that yields a 12, like, if you cut one tablespoon of olive oil per day, you can gain, well, lose 12 pounds. Or if you add a tablespoon of olive oil per day, you're gaining 12 pounds in a year.
Wow.
So there, all those people out there who are pouring the olive oil in saying, oh, it's good fat. Just be careful.
Yeah, I never, you know, I didn't think about the calories. I really didn't. It was so interesting to hear you talking about that. I just figured, oh, it's good oil and it's great. And, you know, and there's other, what are some other ways that people can cut calories easily? You talked about low fat cheese, and can you give us some brands? Cause I heard you talking about that on another interview.
Yeah. You know, I love Cabot 75% light cheddar.
Okay.
Their cheddar is so good. And I will admit that if you put it side by side with full fat cheddar, you won't be confused. However, I love Mexican restaurant or Mexican dishes as you do.
Oh, I love it.
And so when I use that in tacos and there's any sort of seasoning or I use that, I mean, I use it all the time in the Mexican dishes, and I have this chicken ancho lasagna.
Ooh, I want to make that.
You have to try it. It's literally like enchiladas in casserole form, so it's easier.
Mm-hmm.
But dishes like that where there are seasonings and spices, you will not know the difference because it melts well. It acts like traditional cheddar. And then Sargento has amazing light provolone cheese, and they have all the other, like, Swiss is really good with them. So those are the brands that I'd stick to. Some of the, like, the fat-free cheese, I do not like at all. it's not good, and I'm not going to pretend it is. And then, actually, Safeway has a brand called Lucerne, one of their private label brands.
Oh.
They have a mozzarella that I really love, again, because of the way it reacts in recipes. Like, it's amazing on pizzas. And it's only 2.5 grams of fat.
Oh, okay. Now, what about soy cheese and rice cheese? Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
Oh, and then I was going to say Sargento also, if you want to go a little more fattening, like if you're new to the if you're new to the lighter ingredients, you might want to go Sargento mozzarella or their 4-cheese blend, which is amazing.
Oh, good. And do you ever do rice cheese or soy cheese for people who can't have dairy? I know some of the soy cheeses melt pretty well.
Yes. You know, I have used those if the goal is that you can't have dairy.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people mistake using tofu or using some of those other ingredients thinking that they're healthier in terms of, like, oh, I'm going to save fat and calories. And a lot of times those are heavier than the lighter cheeses.
Oh, interesting.
So if your whole purpose is to cut calories, like using soy cheese is not, or cut fat or whatever, using soy cheese is not the direction to go.
Okay. So it's more of like a dietary restriction kind of thing.
Right. Or if you're, well, I guess that wouldn't be vegetarian, but yeah, so with things like that. I mean, a lot of times too, like I tell people, I am a girl who I love beef actually.
Yeah.
And when I go out to dinner, like a lot of people get fish out or they get chicken out. I usually get beef out. I mean, I don't go out to dinner a lot. I should say that first of all. If I'm on the road, you know, for 30 days on a trip, I'm not eating beef every night. But when I do go out as a treat meal, I tend to get beef because it's less likely that the restaurant has added tons of fats or oils to it since it's already on the fattier side.
Oh, that makes sense.
Way, if I'm going to treat myself, I really treat myself. I can make fish at home, and I can control that there's no oil on it, and I know that it's a really light meal. If I go out and get it, a lot of times they've put excess butter on it, they've put excess oil, as we were talking about with the omelets. So that's my strategy for feeling like you know, I get to enjoy with my friends. Like, if I go have a, you know, petite filet mignon, it's really not a big deal as long as I don't slap it in the, you know, béarnaise sauce or something.
Throw some butter on it.
Yeah. And, I mean, restaurants do put a little bit of butter, but sometimes you'll notice, like, I know tons of people who, they go out, and if they're going to even, say, like, a Mexican restaurant or something, and they get the chicken fajitas instead of the beef fajitas, and if you start, or the veggie, because they think it's so much better. And a lot of times restaurants soak vegetables in oil, especially, I mean, not the higher-end restaurants on this one, but the chain sort of Mexican ones, they grill all the vegetables at once in the morning or the night before, and then they soak them in oil so they don't dry out. So by the time they get to your burrito, they're not much less fattening, if at all, than the beef burrito. So
okay. Now, speaking of beef, I heard you talking about there was three S's for cooking beef or something. There was three things that you need, secrets about cooking beef.
I'm like, oh my God, I remember this vaguely, but now I know. yes. Salt, which when people make burgers, they make the mistake of not seasoning. I always say season the meat. No matter what you're making, you want to season the meat before you start cooking it. And then sear is you need to get a nice sear on any kind of meat that you're cooking. You want to lock in the juices, get that browned, caramelized goodness on the outside. Mm-hmm. And then if you need to continue to cook it, you can turn down the heat. But you want to lock in the juices because otherwise it's just not nearly as flavorful. And then three is smash, as in don't.
everyone always does that.
I know. They'll be like, you know, I'm a single girl. I'll be at a barbecue. I'll see a hot guy. And then I'll see him push down the burgers. And I'm like, oh.
Forget about it.
Yeah, forget about him. No, seriously. But it's such a turnoff. No, I'm totally kidding. I'm not that picky.
You are fabulous. You got to come back every week. You're cracking me.
Aw, thanks.
You're so
No, but seriously. Like, if you're smashing, if you're using a lean cut of beef, you know, I always say a burger isn't a burger if you don't need a napkin.
Yeah.
And so I use 96% lean beef, and I swear they're juicy enough that I need a napkin. And much of it is because I don't smash them down. There's so little fat in there that there's no reason. Like, people say, oh, we're smashing out the fat. But you're not. You're smashing out the juice way more than you're smashing out the fat, no matter what the cut is.
Oh, that's,
and if you
that's
use good. The super lean stuff to begin with, there's only 4.5 grams of fat in a quarter-pound burger. So there's reason to be smashing the fat out.
Yeah. I mean, when I was a kid, my mom would like make beef. She would, I don't know what she would do to it, but she would somehow put it in the freezer to take the fat off. And then she put it in the freezer again. I mean, she would go nuts just to get the leanest. And maybe back in the 70s, they didn't have the 96%. But I'm just thinking, what's the problem? And then it was so dry. She's like, oh, but it's so healthy. And I was like, yeah, but
well,
it tastes like cardboard.
You know, that actually brings me to another tip.
Sure.
If you're buying, you know, a lot of people freeze food too much and it loses the quality of it. So I recommend that if you want chicken, if you want chicken in your freezer at all times, I recommend that you buy the pre-frozen chicken, like the stuff that the second they trim it, they put it in bags, they freeze it immediately, and then it can be in your freezer and you can take a couple pieces out as you want it. And you can even obviously buy it on sale and then just store it for a long time.
Oh,
well,
you're talking to me. I love buying things on sale and storing.
No, and that's awesome. You should.
Yeah.
And because that's how you save money on healthy food, especially things like chicken where you can. And that was much of the Biggest Loser Family Cookbook is a budget-friendly cookbook. And these are the kind of things that I talked about. But if you go buy the fresh chicken, that has already been frozen to get to the grocery store 9 times out of 10. So you take it home, it gets defrosted. If you freeze it again, you're degrading the quality of it.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think, do they have cooked chicken that they freeze, or you're talking about uncooked chicken?
I was talking about uncooked.
Yeah, that's
better. Although they do, there are some brands out there. You have to be careful with the cooked frozen stuff, though, because
it could be very good.
Well,
I don't think I've ever eaten it.
I mean, sometimes it's very good because it's very fattening. Like, they just put a lot of fat and salt in it, and then you're...
Oh, my gosh.
Then it is good. But
well, we just have a few minutes left. If you could just tell us a little bit more about your most decadent diet ever, what are some of your favorite recipes in there?
Sure. One of the things that you mentioned at the top of the interview is called chocolate not only in your dreams.
Yes. I love chocolate. Chocolate's good for you.
Yes. Especially this cake. It's the whole thing. It's all natural ingredients. and has only 200 calories, 2 grams of fat, and 6 grams of fiber.
Oh, that's awesome.
That comes from cocoa powder. I don't know if you realize it, but there is a gram of fiber in every tablespoon of cocoa powder that you consume.
Oh, yes, yes.
So throw that in your smoothies, kids. But that was the cake. It's like a warm, flourless chocolate espresso cake that you would get in a restaurant. You know that evil little one that's usually like 750 calories and God knows how many grams of fat? And I thought when I was losing weight that I would never be able to eat that again until I cracked the code on that one. And it's so good. Then I also, in the book, it's not just a dessert book, but it's going to sound like it in a couple minutes. I have these brownies called chocolate brownie cups that Jenna Fisher actually talked about. An 88 calorie brownie that I have. She was on Leno and she was talking about
them. Oh, yeah, I saw that clip. That's great.
Yeah, and so those brownies were a little sticky. They were difficult to cut. I got some feedback. And then also, they're really, really, really good, but they were a little sticky. And so I put them in mini muffin tins to make little brownie cups just because it's easier for people. So it's the same, it's a very similar recipe, but just done easier.
Okay.
So that's in the most decadent diet ever. And then I told you about the chicken enchil lasagna.
Yes, definitely want to make that.
And I'm trying to think what else is in there. I mean, there's everything from like sausage and pepper subs to, there's chocolate chip pancakes that are to die for that are so low in fat and calories. There is. Goodness gracious, I love this book. the Chinese pepper steak that I was talking about. And people, with all of my books, I have a few sample recipes on my website, which is devinalexander.com. Devin is spelled with an I.
Okay.
And then I also do a monthly newsletter where I give a new recipe that hasn't been in print before, if people want to sign up for that.
And you can sign up for that on your website?
Yes, it's free.
And then people can get your books anywhere?
Yeah, my books are available anywhere.
And you've got 4. Right? Most Diet,
and
Fast Food Fix.
Another one coming out in March called I Can't Believe It's Not Fattening.
All right. You're coming on in March.
Ah, great.
For sure. For sure. And if you're ever out in Boston, we're going out to Mexican food. Or better yet, we should just make some.
That sounds awesome.
My kitchen is yours.
Oh, how cool. I actually might be there next month.
Oh, seriously? All right. Okay.
Well, you know, there's the Natural Products Expo.
Oh, great.
So you'll have a lot of me types in your hood.
Well, you're the best. So I'm so glad that you came on today. And again, everyone should go to your website, get your books, make these amazing, delicious foods. And if you want to reach me, you can go to itsyourhealthradio.org. Now, joining us next week is Dr. Dan Silverman and Idell Davidson, and they're the authors of Your Brain After Chemo. And Idell actually went through chemo, and she got what they call chemo brain, which has to do with memory loss and just having difficulties with your cognitive thinking. And it's, you know, it's really interesting because it's one of those things that a lot of doctors discount, but there's a lot of science behind it. So I really encourage everyone, if you know anyone who's gone through chemo, if you're going through chemo, if you're feeling like, why can I never find my car keys anymore since chemo, definitely listen to the program. And I want to thank everybody. It's going to be on Tuesday, September 1st at 9:30. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Have a great week. Keep being healthy. Bye-bye.